you for joining us for another episode of That Solo Life, the podcast about PR pros and marketers who work for themselves. I am Michelle Kane. My company is Voice Matters, and I am here with my wonderful co-host, Karen Swim of Solo PR Pro, the tribe that binds us all together. How are you doing today, Karen?
Well, Michelle, I am doing great. How are you?
You know, living the dream, living the dream. It's a little crazy,
never
but
a dull moment in PR, right?
Yeah, never, 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 ever, you know, it's just, you know, it's day 3,405 of the lockdown. Seasons are changing. I think I still know who I am. I don't know. but, you know, I'm rolling along nicely. So I'll say that much. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I'm happy to still be somewhat busy. So that's good. And, you know, kind of hopefully seeing things starting to perk up a little bit more. We'll see. I mean, who knows long haul what this will do to or for us, but hey, we're here doing the best we can, right?
Yeah, we are, you know, and I mean, I'm glad that we can, I at least I hope that we can bring a little laughter to our audience.
Yes.
Because it, you know, it really has been a serious time, but I think that, you know, we are all trying to find those light moments and make our way through this time and, you know, plunge forward because we know that, you know, things will be continually different. You know, they're just going to be different from day to day, from week to week, from month to month. And so we're kind of rolling along with that. And like you, I don't even know what I am anymore. I guess this is life, you know, this is it. Right. I don't know how long I've been quarantined. It feels like forever, or not quarantined, but sheltered in place.
And sure.
I don't even know. Has it been 4 or 5 months? It feels like a year.
It does feel it, that much. Yeah, does. It does. Yeah. It does.
But at least we have this podcast weekly and we get to chat about the issues in real time.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I mean, it doesn't. Optimism. Exactly. Optimism is key. And it's not like our topic today doesn't necessarily affect us personally because we work from home, but more and more we are seeing that those who do have offices are not going back to them anytime soon, just as the days go on. So I'm not sure how those who are, you know, working from home for the first time are feeling about that and what that's going to mean for the long haul.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. So there was a story in The Atlantic that the title of it was Never Go Back to the Office. And I think that one of the things that's really fascinating to me about this time period is seeing some of our long-held traditions sort of evolve. But some of those long-held traditions, I think, are unveiling a new, better way to think about things. So one of the things that I'm excited about, you know, with this whole office change is that I feel like we're truly assessing where work needs to get done. And for people like, you know, us, you know, for solos and micropreneurs and solopreneurs who work from a home base, whether that is a detached office or, you know, an office inside of your home, it really brings to the forefront that legitimate professional work does not have to only be done in, you know, those brick and mortar, you know, tall glass buildings, that it can happen wherever the professional is. And so, you know, I'm seeing a shift, sort of like a light bulb moment. And you're right. A lot of those professionals that were locked in the office, I've talked to many, are really enjoying not having a commute and being able to work without some of the distractions that are inherent in an office environment. Now, You know, that said, right now, everybody that's working from home, every single person, the environment is not the same as it has been for you and I for years. You know, so we have to be realistic about that too, because you're working, not being able to take some of the breaks, and we don't have the freedom of movement that we had, and you're sharing your workspace, you know, with extra people or fur babies. So it's different, but people are realizing, oh my God, you know, when I just find a quiet place to work, I can just get work done and I can get it done faster because I don't have people popping in and out of my office for impromptu meetings and not pulled into stuff that really doesn't directly affect me. And I can actually adjust my hours a little bit because, you know, you have parents that are also homeschooling. And so, yeah, I think this is kind of a cool change.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I think it gives people opportunity, you know, to work differently, work more effectively, more productively. And, you know, of course, the flip side to that for many would be the fear of, oh no, are my hours going to be cut because they think I'm not spending as much time, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, you would hope that companies wouldn't view it that way, that they would view the value of what you're producing as being the key, you know, the KPI, if we want to put our spin on it. And, you know, just see that happy employees are more productive employees, and it's affecting your bottom line, not just with that miserly eye on, well, I think you can get this done in 6 hours, not eight. So, you know, that's the hope.
One of my long-held frustrations about most work, because we know that, you know, industries are different, goals are different, outcomes are different. But one of my frustrations has been that we hold on to this idea of work being married to hours. Like it's right. A time thing. Like you have to put in your 8 hours rather than looking at results and outcomes. And so if the goal is to get results and you have an employee that can get 8 hour results in 4 hours, why are you forcing them to work an additional 4 hours? That it just seems so antiquated to me. But on the other side of this, so I've seen two things. I saw one big company, and I'm sorry, I can't remember who it was, but they said, you know, hey, 4 or 5 months ago, if you had said that we're going to do the largest work from home experiment ever, I would have called you crazy. But it turns out that having 95% of our workforce go home, we took our productivity did not suffer at all. And that surprised them. Yeah. I think that, you know, I think it surprised a lot of companies. But then on the other side, I also saw an article about companies that are hiring private investigators.
Oh,
to check
gosh.
On their work from home employees because people were out golfing, boating, fishing. And
that's crazy. You know, again, are you turning in your assignment completely? Are you getting your work done? Then, you know, and so they're paying extra to monitor behavior before there's a problem.
Hold on. I felt like, wow, this is, and it's all about that mindset of time, you know, are you clocking the hours? But you're right. So if you have an employee who is actually producing and they're doing, you know, they're living up to the standard that you've set for him or her, what does it matter how many hours it took to get there? I mean, and honestly, I think that this is, you know, another great assessment to think about how you're applying your resources. Right. Are you applying resources because you have this forced vision of time? Are there more efficient, streamlined ways to do things? I mean, as an employee, if I were an employee and I was given flexibility in a workday and knew that, hey, you know what? It's okay if it's 10 to 4 or 8 to 5 and that it might vary from day to day, but that I actually am empowered to be able to order my days and get my work done. I would definitely be much happier.
Right. Absolutely. And, you know, and just that simple act of empowerment, I think, would have such a great positive effect on the people in your team, you know, just to say, hey. And also within that, of course, you know, establishing some kind of boundaries of, yes, this is when I'm available to you. If we need to discuss anything, you know, these are the channels we're using, because certainly you want to avoid the monster of always being on and always being available, because that in the end is so counterproductive. And, you know, there are times when, yes, you have to have an eye on the ball, you know, into the evening and, you know, sometimes into the wee hours, but as an ongoing practice, it's not good, because you're definitely just going to burn out and negate the whole thing. So it's finding that sweet spot, you know, which we as solos have had to do as well. You know, sometimes I have to pull myself away and think, oh, I should be doing this, I should be doing that. But, you know, life has taught me well enough to know, yeah, it's not going to end well. Yeah, sometimes you do just power through, though, you know, and it has to be done. It has to be done. But, you know, as all of the other things being equal, you know, this is just a great new opportunity. And I think one of the other important things, you know, as these workforces continue to work from home, is to find a way to establish, keep that camaraderie going, keep that, you know, essence of, yes, we are working together. I mean, I have a friend, she was doing, I'm going to presume she organized this, just knowing her as well as I do. She had like a happy hour trivia night for her team. They did it on Zoom, and, you know, it's just something fun outside of work that you could still do together.
Love it.
Yeah. Just be, you know, be creative. Although, you know, I get it. I think we're all hitting the Zoom wall for sure, but
yeah,
but there are ways to keep things entertaining, and, you know, this is really
go straight to something that's really driven a lot of discussion, and that's the whole question of culture. Do you need a physical space to create culture? And I say no. Just need shared values that are clearly communicated and lived. And, you know, the one thing that I would say to companies that are, you know, thinking about even moving some employees permanently to work at home, I would say that everything that you do should really have guidance and structure. You know, you can't just send people home and say, okay, go at it. And then your fallback position is to micromanage them by having, you know, Zoom check-ins like 4 times a day. That's not effective. But you need to give them some boundaries, some guidelines, like here are the expectations. And when you set the expectations, then you can measure, right? And, you know, in PR, we're all about being able to have measurable objectives. And so I think that that's really important, that you have to think through, you know, okay, what does working from home mean? And what do we expect when we send people away from the office? But I also think that people should also have guidance around email. That doesn't exist. Companies don't have, you know, when they onboard employees, they don't give them guidance like, hey, you're not expected to check your email at 7 o'clock at night, or you don't need to see everyone. And here are the appropriate things for email. And here are the things that you can put in a Slack channel. They just give you an email address and let you figure it out. And that's terrible too.
True. Yeah. You know, it's the establishing the boundaries and the guidelines of, you know, it's, you know, you're an employee. Yes, you're providing a service, but it's not, you know, like an indentured servitude. You know, it's, you still need your free time, and you need to structure that in a way. And I think, you know, being away from an office for prolonged times, as many are going to be, I think, like we've said all along with this, yes, are there negatives? Of course. But it is going to provide for more opportunity. And, you know, sometimes even, you know, with that, more efficiency. Because like you say, you're not, you know, oh, I have to walk down this hallway and, okay, and I'll chit-chat with that person. And even though they're a nice person, I might not want to chit-chat right now. Next thing you know, an hour's gone.
Yes.
You know, yeah. And we know, you know, different personalities are going to handle this in different ways too. You know, I think of that as well. I think of the offices that had, you know, tried to be the Google campus and, you know, had a cafeteria and a cereal bar. And, you know, next thing you know, it's like, oh, where'd that perk go? And, you know, that's something also for these companies to, I don't want to say confront, that's such a strong word, but to, you know, attend to of, you know, sometimes the in-house perks, if you had those going, you know, how can you keep some of that in a way that's not detrimental? Honestly,
post COVID-19.
Yeah, that's probably all going away anyway.
Those are all going away. So companies are going to have to find a new way to reward people. And, you know, I feel terrible because honestly, some of those perks, like the, you know, the free food.
Yeah.
Really, like in places that have a really high cost of living, like I think of the Bay Area and tech companies, a lot of their employees relied on that free food because they live super far because they can't afford to live close to the office.
That's true.
They already probably have two or three roommates to be able to afford a place to live. And, and that free food was needed. It wasn't a perk. It was like a necessity of life.
Yeah, for that's some true. People.
So companies really do need to figure that part out. But yeah, with COVID, you know, anything that's shared is kind of going away.
That's true.
I got to tell you, goodbye buffet. You were gross anyway. Bye. It's like, thank you for single use, you know, materials. Although now my concern is about the environment and what that's going to look like in the wake of COVID, because I, you know, am not a fan of single use things for that very reason. But hopefully we can find some sustainable options that are germ-free, because I'm a fan of eliminating germs and eliminating some of that unnecessary contact. Goodbye, restaurant menus. Oh my God, those things were
those are the worst. Yeah. And it's interesting too, from the restaurant point of view, I was reading some, you know, some comments about, because the CDC document is out and about single-use items. And I'm thinking, you know, and people brought up the point of, well, dishwashing, you know, restaurant dishwashers, they sanitize. So I'm thinking, what's the difference if someone hands me plastic or hands me metal? You're still handing it, or there's still a contact there. So by all means, keep using the silverware. I mean, you know, there comes a point where you be as careful as you can, but there comes a point where you do have to live your life and not just be like, did you touch that? As long as you didn't lick it, I'm good. Sorry, that's my highly professional CDC recommendation.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, in the big scheme of things, I feel like people, I think we as human beings, at some point, we'll begin to relax a little bit more. We'll begin to feel safer as cases go down and as things kind of improve. And so we will relax our own restrictions, because ultimately, I think everyone is living by in a way that makes them feel the safest and most comfortable.
Agree.
I look at other people, I think a little reckless, but you do you, boo.
Just keep it away from me.
Yeah, exactly. So
I'm like, free to be you and me.
Free to be me and absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. But,
so, you know, at the end, it's still a lot of adjustment, as always, with anything. And, you know, I think we're both, you know, optimistic sorts. So we just want to, you know, see what good can come of this, because, you know, there is so much bad and so much loss. But as we make our way, at least for the next year or so, I know I was reading another thread and, you know, someone was just saying, you know, looking toward the optimism of, you know, with the masks and everything. And all I said was, I said, look, 1918, people were legally bound to wear masks and eventually they didn't. You know, we're not wearing them. You know, we weren't wearing them in 1985. So, of course, we don't want to wait 60 years. But still, you know, eventually we won't need this. So it's not forever. And it's even though, you know, you think a year or two, ugh, that feels like forever. Sure. I get it. But let's look ahead 10 years from now, 5 years from now. We'll have been through this and hopefully we'll have established, you know, some better practices and, you know, just find a good way.
Is more tuned in to sanitary practices, that's a benefit.
Yeah.
For all of us in the long term. So you're right. We may not have to wear masks daily, but My gosh, I hope that this habit sticks with us even, you know, post the virus, every flu season, because it's not a bad idea. And imagine what we could do, the impact that we could have if we now take these practices and just integrate them into life. I love that everybody's washing their hands more and we're sanitizing our hands and we're thinking about the things that we touch. And I think that those are habits that we should probably hold on to because it's honestly better for our health in the long term. This is not just a COVID thing. This is just a natural, like, let's be smart and not pass germs on to other people kind of thing. So, I mean, the social distancing, I get that at some point that will go away and we'll go back to, you know, large gatherings and crowded spaces. But I think there's some good things that come out of this. And even with the office changes, I really hope that as people go back to the office, because these are the people that we work with, that they go back to an office that not only feels safe for them, but allows them to be productive. And I hope that some of the flexibility that came out of this time last for their sake, because I think it'll make for a happier workplace. I mean, I hope that more companies that can allow hybrid work where you can work from the office and work from home sometimes, because that definitely gives you a better, I think, quality of life and a little more balance and a little more control. And, you know, we want our clients to be happy people.
Right. Yeah. You know, it helps. yes, we do. You want optimal circumstances for all involved all the time. And yeah, and if that helps the people that we work with, you know, perform better and be more inspired and motivated and, you know, more excited about the work they do, that can only help us as PR pros as we try to share their stories. So, that's what we're here to do, is to make, you know, show them in their best light, their most productive light. And it's really all about, warm and fuzzy alert. It's all about helping each other Yeah. Yeah. And that's what we're here for too. So we hope that we've been helpful today. Just talking a little bit about this issue and, you know, what the next normal is as opposed to the new normal. if hopefully we'd love to hear from you, actually, especially those of you who, you know, were, you know, forced to vacate your workplaces, and it might be quite a while until you get back there. Please hit us up at soloprpro.com. And please like and share this podcast if you feel so inclined, because we'd love to have more and more people benefit from the topics that we cover. So until next time, it's That Solo Life.